This episode is brought to you by Skillz, the worldwide leader in mobile esports. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to skillz.com/GFQ on your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z. And download your favorite games. When you make a deposit, Skillz will double it. And when you use the promo code GFQ, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. That's skillz.com/GFQ. And by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay the shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/GFQ. That's stayroasted.com/GFQ. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and this is the last show of 2016. And what a year it was for professional wrestling. Ooh. With me, as always, is my cutie pie, Rich Stambolian.
What's up, man? America's,
you are
America's cutest teenager right here.
America's cutest teenager, Rich Stambolian. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And with us,
hey,
the brilliantly funny,
oh, my goodness,
Harry Tarjanian.
Thank you. Thank you guys
my
for having me.
My favorite Harry Tarjanian. You are my favorite Harry Tarjanian.
Of all? It's just me and my dad. Wow. I finished ahead of my dad. Yeah, take that, Pops.
What's going on,
finally,
Harry?
Doing good, man. Just enjoying Christmas and whatever. That was fun. Nothing, you know, just
having I was talking to somebody. You came up in the conversation a couple weeks ago, and they go, "Wait a minute, you do a wrestling show, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Was Harry Tarjanian? How do you know Harry Tarjanian?" He was one of like through Lunatic Radio. Like,
oh,
like
okay.
He's like a comic on the island.
And I'm trying to think who that is. Yeah,
I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we went into this whole story. And I'm like, yeah, I know Harry. He's like, that's so weird. Like, I know you and I know the show. And all of a sudden, like, Harry's sitting on your couch. And I'm like, yeah, like, we all know each other. He goes, it's such a weird
world. It is
world.
A weird world, yeah. Well, because I know you, but then I know you through Lunatic Radio, which I knew through Korean Humor. But then you know one of my best friends from Florida. Justin Robert Young who there's no reason we should have any connection. I know him. We went to high school together for 2 years in Plantation, Florida, of all places.
That's so funny.
And the fact that,
you know, I was supposed to move to Plantation, Florida.
You were?
I were.
Why?
I was.
Why is that?
My parents wanted to move to Florida when I was a kid.
And they picked Plantation?
Like Wellington, the Plantation
area.
Wellington area. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. We only moved there because another family that we knew moved there, so my dad liked that area.
No, it was like some big development. They were doing like all these developments there.
Sure, yeah.
And my parents saw this house. It was like $300,000. I think it was like a mansion. I remember
it was absurd.
Down.
It was absurd. The money goes real far, which is why everyone retires down
there.
So we were like white trash millionaires in a weird way.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird bubble. By the way, Justin, we'll be on in a couple weeks. The next couple weeks, guys, we have a packed... Damien from Last Mark Standing is coming on.
In studio.
Nice.
We have Justin coming on. We have...
Not in studio.
Well, I would love him to come in studio. We have Stevie Richards coming on.
In studio.
Yeah, not in studio. To talk about his new workout system.
Oh, awesome.
He has...
He's cut up. I follow him on Instagram.
I know.
That dude is in tremendous
shape.
He's a
beefcake, I'll tell you. And then we have a couple other guests lined up, too, for the New Year. So it's going to be a busy first couple weeks.
How's Trina doing? I'm following
her. She's doing good.
I follow her on Twitter and Instagram or whatever. She's in like some FTW mode or something. Is she fighting people off?
Always.
What is going on?
It's the best.
Because I'm only seeing the aftermath. I have no idea what the story is.
I don't know. She's just calling people out on their bullshit. It's great. I love it.
She engages.
She's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, she engages. We engage to a certain point.
And then you move on.
And then we shut it down and then move on.
Oh, I guess.
I love when she fights with people because it becomes, at the end of the argument, she is pulled out, right? She's done. But the other people that were brought in now
they're
fighting, and it spreads into
amongst
this huge thing.
Amongst themselves,
yeah. Sometimes it's the same exact point at the end that they don't even realize.
It's like the thing in the movies, like the old movies, when you'd start the food fight and then you'd crawl.
You crawl
out of the shot into the...
Guys, we have so much to talk about. We're going to do our year in review. A lot happened in pro wrestling. Where can people find you?
You can go to my Twitter, my Instagram. It's all at Harry Tarjanian. And also, if you want to listen to the podcast I do with Dante Nero, which is a relationship sex advice podcast called The Beige Phillip Show, you can check that out on iTunes.
We have a huge podcast.
It's fantastic. I'm proud of it. It's relationship and sex advice for guys and girls. I mean, it's from a guy's perspective for the most part, but... It's for everybody.
By the way, there's
a
couple
one.
Shows like that, mm-hmm. and I've listened to them. But I'm not going to call people out.
Okay.
Their perspective is really wrong.
Sure.
I really, really enjoy your podcast because it's funny too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not just complaining.
Right. 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 There's a lot of dudes that are just kind of complaining.
A lot of chicks too.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. There's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
People love to complain, though.
Huh?
People love to complain.
Yeah, I mean, it's the easiest thing to do creatively.
It's exactly.
Hence why people attack Trina, because it's easy to complain, or just any internet trolls or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just that's their level of contribution creatively is mm-hmm. let me complain. So yeah, because it's easy to do that.
Yeah,
I have no valid opinion.
Yeah,
guys, we have so much to talk about. But before we go on, I want to thank our sponsor.
Oh, nice.
And that's Stay Roasted. StayRoasted.com/GFQ. Go there. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay the shipping when you sign up, and you also get 15% off any additional purchase. I'm a big coffee fan. I've been drinking coffee. I told the story how when I was a kid, there were two coffees in my life.
Mm.
There was Armenian coffee, like Turkish coffee, mm-hmm. which was like mud.
Yeah.
And then there was Folgers instant coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that coffee expanded.
There's a whole world between those
two. These two extremes.
Yeah,
yeah, that is the worst of both worlds in a weird way.
It's terrible. So when I was, when I was like a teenager and I like went to Starbucks for the first time, I'm like, oh my God, this is great, but it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, top quality coffee isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. You don't want to go and drink some crap coffee from a diner in a Greek coffee cup. And I always wonder why those cups.
Why
did that become
cups?
A New York thing? That's a New York thing.
Yeah.
It's a big New York thing.
Yeah, it tastes terrible. And you're paying like $2 for it. Well, you don't have to worry anymore. Services like Stay Roasted provide you, and they deliver you 100% specialty grade coffee beans selected for your taste and delivered fresh. So you go on their website and you pick the type of coffee you want. You want a dark roast, a medium roast, a light roast. They have the top, America's top craft coffee roasters for your personal roast lineup. And here's a great thing. Plans start at only 60 cents per brewed cup, and there's no commitment. You can try it yourself. Go to StayRoasted.com/GFQ. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay the shipping. That's StayRoasted.com/GFQ.
So you can actually get good stuff delivered to your place.
Okay, so fascinating. They're an advertiser.
Yeah.
But I signed up. This is how they get you. I think this is how all these companies make their money.
Oh, yeah.
They get me to do the ad, and then I'm like, oh, man, this is excellent. Let me sign up. I get two bags of coffee every other week.
Oh, nice.
Sent to my door on like the delivery date, and it says, like, oh, your coffee's coming. And the way that I've timed it, and you could select the date, it's when my coffee runs out, I get the new bag. So I have not bought any coffee from the store. And with the pricing for their coffee, it's actually cheaper than going to the store and buying one of those, like a Starbucks brand
or a
Dunkin' Donuts brand. And this is 10 times better.
Yeah.
It's so good.
If they have like a super strong, I'm
they
gonna
do.
Have to buy it.
No, they
I
do.
Like, when I drink coffee, I like to feel like I'm getting mugged.
Very
aggressive coffee.
I just want to, I want to feel like I got punched in the face and now all the adrenaline is
just
pumping.
Mm.
You know?
You want your eyes to water?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
I want my eyes to water.
Like
that's how I like my
punched
coffee.
In the nose.
Yeah. Guys, they also have decaf also, so check it out.
Oh, okay.
StayRoasted.com. Where did we begin? 2016 was probably one of the, in my opinion, one of the best years in professional wrestling. As far as growth for everything other than WWE.
Yeah.
Even in WWE, we saw
tons of growth.
Tons of growth. And it was very good wrestling. They had probably the most four-star plus matches that I've seen in many, many years.
I agree with that.
We saw AJ Styles come in at the Rumble and become the WWE champion.
That's nuts
company,
when you really think about it. He's only been there, it's not even technically a year, right?
Yeah.
That is nuts. They kept pushing it on SmackDown, but I guess it is. Nobody's had a better first year.
Immediate run, right?
I can't imagine anybody who had a better first. Not even The Undertaker, I wouldn't say, had a better first year.
Maybe Brock.
Not the first year. No, The Rock. No, there's no way.
No, Brock. Brock.
Oh, Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar.
I guess. But, I mean, that almost seemed like it was, I don't know. I don't remember much about the first year. I know he won the title.
Yeah.
In the first year. Did he in the first year? Did he win the King of the Ring and all that in the first year?
I think they pushed him to the moon.
Maybe
it's
Brock.
The Austin thing. AJ, look, if we're going to do a year in review, how would you guys feel about talking about the giant defection from New Japan, which includes AJ?
Yeah, AJ.
And that's the Bullet Club.
The Bullet Club
and Nakamura.
Nakamura. That's huge.
It was huge, yeah.
That's huge.
That was one of the best, if you think about it. They got two guys from Japan, and they put two titles, their main titles on these dudes.
Yeah.
And then Finn Balor also. They put the title on Finn Balor also. So this Japanese acquisition that they took over the last, year and a half really paid off for them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Balor got hurt, obviously. But you could see that is a major shift in mentality in this company.
Yeah. Well, they're not against picking up guys. Because for a while it was just, let's get people, build them up in NXT from scratch. But if somebody came from another company, they weren't going to use them if they didn't go through. And they've kind of changed that mentality.
Yeah. Look at Kevin Owens. He was a guy that everybody a year and a half ago would go, Kevin Owens will never be WWE champion. They're just going to waste him. The guy's Universal Champion, and he has a good run on Raw. He's in this great feud with, Roman Reigns, and Chris Jericho's involved. He's a main player. He's not a transitional champion.
Right, and he's also had a great first year.
Yeah. He had a great first year as well, yeah.
They're really handling their talent well. I think the big story here this year was how independent wrestling became a major focal point for many fans.
Yes.
The good and the bad. There's a lot of good indie wrestling. There's a lot of bad indie wrestling. For the most part, organizations like PWG, all the UK promotions, Rev Pro, everything, the European promotions have done tremendous this year. It shows you that there is a much larger market than just WWE and professional wrestling. That was a really interesting shift.
Can I make a quick point about that?
Yes, go ahead.
Think about this. All right. All right. Now I want you guys' opinion on this.
Sure.
I'm going to get a little deep right now.
Okay.
A little meta for it.
Well, this is a place to do it.
Okay. Given what you said, I agree 100% that the indies, there's a big spotlight on the indies now, right? Now, do you guys think it's mainly fans of just pro wrestling in general, or fans who kind of like pro wrestling, but understand that it's catching on right now and want to be the guy who says, I saw so-and-so before he got signed. I'm a true fan. You know what I mean?
I think that does exist. No, of course, that exists.
People jumping on the bandwagon
a
little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I'll give an example. Coco's staying with us.
Yes.
By the way, I told him that Harry's a priest.
You're not?
And he believes that he's a priest. Now, he's not listening. But he came in, he said hi, and Harry goes, bless you, to him. So we're going to keep this up that he's a priest.
We'll see. We'll see how long. We'll see.
Was Coco's response, I didn't sneeze?
I don't know. He just kind of just moved along,
just moved
I
along.
Guess.
So,
the way people do around priests.
Yeah, you just run away sometimes.
So do you think that's the case?
I think to some extent, yeah. I think, I've seen, all the guys at this point at Evolve,
Right.
But I'm not one of these guys like, oh, no, you know what? I would rather see, he was much better when he was wrestling in front of 500 people. And he looked me in my eyes, and we made love mentally.
Hey, man.
There are people now that are saying, I love seeing Cody, but I want to see him. I was reading this thread on Reddit, and it was about Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
About, he had this, he got really pissed on Twitter about what they did about his father.
Yeah.
They exploited his father. But
I feel like that's a work, no?
I don't know. Goldust did it. I don't think they were disrespectful to Dusty in any way. And Cody's done the polka dot thing, and he's done a lot of
that. That's why
I think
it's a work. I think he's just playing up that he's a
maybe
heel.
Maybe he is. No, it's possible. It's quite possible that that's what he's doing. And there was a thread about how Cody's like, yeah, you know what? He really sucked into WWE. I had no interest in watching him. But now, with these smaller groups, I could really appreciate Cody.
So that's a weird mentality, too, because I feel like those are the same people that don't really... I don't want to say get mainstream wrestling, but those are the same people that are like, indie wrestling is better than WWE. Guess what? Not.
Yeah. I think it's better for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy going to, a Spanish nightclub and sitting there watching wrestling and drinking a six-pack of Corona.
It's fun.
In front of 200 people.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. It's fun. That will not appeal to a mainstream audience.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
That is not what 99% of people that watch wrestling are watching it for. They're watching it for the pyro and the lighting,
the spectacle,
and
the full
slap
spectacle,
and they want the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just want. You know what? Somebody described it as watching somebody throw free throws for an hour and sinking them all in. You say, "Man, this guy's a great wrestler. This guy's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
Great free thrower." And then watching a full NBA game,
right?
You know, very different.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
That's a good analogy.
Although I
like
will say, sometimes you can. The thing with WWE is that you kind of like, I forget what match it was. I think it was just AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, or just, you know, on Raw, some throwaway match.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, you know, if this was an ROH main event or pay-per-view, like, this would be huge. Why am I not paying? It's just because you're so overwhelmed by how much wrestling there is that you kind of lose track of it. Where with the indies, they can also sort of spotlight on it, which is kind of interesting.
They do a better job at that. Yeah. Like, I watch a Drew Gulak. Gulak versus a guy that I cannot even remember his name. He was in, what was the demon's name in Exorcist?
Pazuzu?
Damien?
Pazuzu.
Oh, Pazuzu. I don't know.
He was part, like, his team, it's Team Pazuzu.
Team Pazuzu?
Yeah, team, it was one of the dudes from Team Pazuzu.
Which one would it be? I kind of, I think I know.
There's a Spanish dude and Pinky there's a white
Sanchez,
dude.
There was Chris Dickinson.
Chris Dickinson was in the second one, I think, the second match. But it was one of the dudes. Mm-hmm. These two had, it was an opening match. It was Drew Gulak and him. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew who this other dude was. Everybody knew Gulak, obviously, because it's Evolve. It was so freaking good, this match. They went like 20 minutes. The crowd was into it. They loved everything that they did. This match could never do well in front of TV.
Yeah.
Never. Never, never, never. There's no, and you're seeing it. You know what? The whole point that, the 205.
Right.
205 Live. That is a great example of how indie wrestling does not work in the WWE. You take guys that will have a Dirty Sanchez. Is it intern Dirty Sanchez? What was his name?
It was Pinky Sanchez.
Yeah.
Was it Pinky Sanchez who we wrestled?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great match.
Yeah.
Very good match. Mm-hmm. This match would never work on TV.
Yeah.
Ever. Nobody would be committed. You want people are invested in the characters.
Is that 205 Live? I mean, I watched. I think
it was good this week.
It was. Yeah,
it was a Neville
halfway
show.
Through.
It was all about Neville.
I'm still finishing it, but yeah, I mean, I'm still. It's almost Gallagher can do no wrong by me.
Oh, absolutely,
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the airing it after SmackDown. I think part of it is that Chicago crowd. I think a lot of those people stayed for that.
They did.
That's
a
great wrestling. Like, it didn't seem light like the other weeks, but there's a problem with airing that after you're done with a regular show.
They're moving it. They're moving. Yeah, they're gonna.
What's the plan with that now?
So they killed Superstars.
Yeah,
and Superstars would film. So yeah, main event and Superstars. Main event would film on Mondays before Raw.
Yeah.
Superstars would film before SmackDown. They killed Superstars, so they're gonna move 205 Live.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Before
that makes sense.
And put it live, and then, or they don't even have to do it live. They just film.
There's no reason to do it live.
Like it's live, and then just put it on right after.
Yeah.
Right after
you
SmackDown.
Could do it live to tape or whatever.
Yeah. So there's a lot that they could do, but that's another thing. The mentality in the WWE changed drastically when it came to other, you know, pre-established characters.
Right.
Outside of their company and allowing them to keep it. Look at the names. Tony Nese, Drew Gulak. These guys should never have their own names, right? They don't. Mm. They have names locally, but Tony Nese is a great wrestler.
If this was 5 years ago or less than 5 years ago,
Tony Nese would have been Vinny Bominu, you know, some bullshit name for him.
Yeah.
From Long Island, New
York.
Vinny Capillari. Yeah, that would have been his name. The mentality has totally changed with allowing guys to have name recognition.
Well, they always go through the different periods of it, because you remember it was like 2002, whatever. Maybe it was before the brand split, where they just decided that everyone needs a real name. They wanted everyone. And people who already had established names,
they even dropped
those. Hugh Morris, I remember, he just started wrestling as Bill DeMott.
Bill DeMott,
I think. Did they do it with Devon? No, right? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. There was a couple people, they just took their names, like, at that point, you're like, no. At this point, he's already established as that dude. Now you don't need to whatever, but...
They changed Devon's name to D-Vaughn, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Devon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think it may have been the other way around, but I think it was D-E-V-O-N, and then they brought him in as D-Vaughn, like Devon.
No.
And then they did that with Bubba Ray, too. And then they added the Z to Dudley Boys.
That might be a copyright thing.
All the ECW guys had, like, Rhino had to spell his name with a Y.
And then, and then Taz had to change, take one Z out.
You have to take one Z or add
a Z. He had to add a Z.
I don't know. He added
a couple
Z's.
I don't know how ECW got away with a lot of copyright, just playing music, just ripping music.
They didn't care.
The only smart dude who, the guy who they couldn't change his name was Tajiri.
Oh, Tajiri. Yeah.
His last name.
I like his name. Yeah. Ah, the buzzsaw.
I like it.
It's a buzzsaw.
I love Tajiri. He's coming back next week.
Yeah, listen, they're keeping all these names, and it's cool, and, you know, the 205 Live has a lot of these indie dudes, and the classic that they're doing now, the European thing that they're doing, the UK tournament that they're going to do. Yeah. It's a very different mentality, and this kind of goes back to the whole Shane plan that Global. Thank you, Deacon.
Thanks, Deacon.
Deacon, intern Deacon brought me coffee. Nice. Thank you. You know, this goes
so
back.
Is he not your brother, or is he?
He is not my brother.
He's not your brother.
He is not my brother.
That's a shoot. He's legitimately not.
He is not
your
my
only
brother.
Work this whole time. You've been working brothers.
Listen,
like the Anderson.
He is not my brother. No, we are not even work. Everybody thinks he's my brother.
I swear to God, I thought he was your brother.
It's like Brian Christopher and Jerry Lawler.
Does he live here?
He does not live here.
His office is upstairs.
His office is upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's why. All right,
yeah. Christian.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
He's writing upstairs. He is not my brother,
but he is your intern.
He is my intern, and let me just state the fact that Brian Christopher was not Jerry Lawler's kid.
See, that one I thought was legit. I didn't know that one.
He is not Jerry Lawler's kid. I don't know why anybody would think that he's Jerry
he
Lawler's
kid. He kind of like Jerry Lawler.
I don't see any resemblance
there. I see the
there.
Face, especially Nothing. In the, I don't know,
There's
man.
No resemblance there.
He looks just like Jerry Lawler to me.
And Deacon is not my brother.
Okay, we've established that he's not.
Even though Deacon could play him in an Andrew, Andrew biopic.
I mean, listen. Yeah.
And he does stay here occasionally. Deacon does stay here occasionally.
He was here for the SummerSlam
party. He lives here occasionally. He is not my brother. He's an intern.
The SummerSlam party.
He's a terrible intern.
I refer to the Holy Foley pre-show.
The Holy Foley pre-show, yeah. So, listen, this year, very interesting. So what was the best... And I'll ask the chat room, what do you think the best thing you saw this year was in wrestling?
Ooh,
what was the match of the year in your opinion?
That's tough, man. WWE.
Let's go WWE.
I feel like there was a ton. Oh boy. I am partial to a couple matches. And I think it was within the last year. The Kevin Owens Finn Balor match. In Japan? Was that this year? Or was that last
year? I think that would have been last year, I think. Because wasn't that the 4th of July show?
Which one are you talking about?
Maybe it was this year.
No?
Yeah, maybe, man.
You know what? Like,
there's so much. There's so many that went on. I did like AJ and Cena. They had some great matches. I mean, the Sasha Banks, Charlotte, any one of those sort of matches were pretty good. I'm trying to think of the best one.
Nakamura and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania.
I got
weekend.
My two.
Great. Which were your two?
I got my two.
Go ahead.
I got NXT Toronto, DIY versus The Revival. I got Nakamura, Sami Zayn. Those are my top
two.
Yeah. But we also had other ones. That Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match was great.
Oh, yeah.
From Payback?
Yeah. The Gargano. And then the other one, the Brooklyn Gargano match with...
Gargano
the Revival, that was great also.
Gargano versus Ciampa in the first round of
that
the
was
Cruiserweight
very
Classic.
Good.
Cedric versus Ibushi.
Cedric versus Ibushi and Brian Kendricks versus Ibushi was a great match also. We saw a lot of good matches.
A lot of great matches. Yeah. A lot of good stuff. Outside of WWE, I think one of the shining moments of 2016 is the birth of Broken Matt Hardy.
Yes. Yeah.
And who would think that, like, after 20 years, Matt Hardy would now be the popular Hardy?
Right? But, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's good.
He's the Hardy
I'm happy
now.
For him. Finally, he's come. And it's an insanely great gimmick. And it's really been certainly the only thing keeping TNA afloat. Thank God for that.
Isn't it weird that, like, one word catchphrases get so over?
Oh, my God. Just.
You're getting delete chants everywhere now.
It's the, That there's something so bizarre about wrestling that things catch on that way, and then they build. The first time I saw that, I was just like, "What the hell is this? This is terrible."
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know to this day if they purposely did it as kitsch. The first one, I mean, it had to have been.
The second one's very kitsch too.
No, the second one is, but by that point, but the first one, I was like, I still don't know if they shot it on purpose like that, like if it was supposed to be like a John Waters film style or.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, where it's campy,
yeah,
and because I was like, this is horrendous, and then you know, subsequently, every one of them has been fantastic.
Yeah.
There's one dumb moment where he's in his house, like eating or whatever, and he has a maid or whatever. He's like, more green beans, whatever. And she's like, I'm Hispanic or whatever. He goes, wonderful. For no reason.
It's also a very safe way to present a package of wrestling, because if you, the first one and the second one, these guys weren't really taking crazy, crazy
bumps.
Dude,
Ricky Morton. Ricky Morton. We got the Rock and Roll Express. And Ricky Morton, people are wondering, how did Ricky Morton get down from the lift?
Wasn't it Animal?
Animal brought him down.
Yeah.
That's how he came down. Animal showed up and he brought him down.
So ridiculous.
Do you want to hear the top, the Dave Meltzer top matches of the year?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is actually great. These are, I'll tell you how many stars they got and you guys tell me what you think. Five stars. The last match to get five stars was September 3rd. PWG, Bola, Battle of Los Angeles. Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Matt Sydal.
Oh, Will Ospreay.
Versus Nick Jackson, Adam Cole, and Matt Jackson.
Yeah.
The Jackson twins, as I call them. They're not even twins.
Not even the Young Bucks.
Five stars. Five star for a PWG match. Next one is Kenny Omega and Naito.
Yes.
At the G1. Another five-star match. Ishii versus Okada at the G1. Mm-hmm. Okada versus Tanahashi. Five stars at Wrestle Kingdom 10.
That's all this year? Five stars?
And there's another one. Okada versus Tanahashi at... No, I'm sorry. Okada versus... I'm sorry. Okada versus Ishii, and then Okada versus Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom, and then the four. I'm going to go to some American matches. A lot of Japanese matches. Obviously, Kenny Omega had the best year of his career this year.
Yeah, man,
this guy blew
Omega.
Up like crazy. And I really enjoyed him watching him like 5 years ago when nobody knew him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now he's okay now. His knees are a little bad.
If you want, you know how you like to punch dweebs?
Yeah,
that's
I want to punch dweebs.
That's the person
that's
I want to punch.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want to punch. Like, the guy who's like, yeah, he's okay now. A little bit watered down, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody talking about Nakamura right now.
Yeah.
People don't realize how banged up this dude is.
Exactly. That's a big thing.
Here we go. Let's see. Kenny Omega, Goto. You got ROH. You got Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson versus Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin. In a Ladder Wars match. That was a phenomenal match.
I still haven't seen that. I have to see that.
Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Best of the Juniors got 4.7 stars. That was the match that caused so much controversy.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I enjoyed it. It's great. I mean, it's acrobatics.
It was acrobatics,
I mean, it still requires a lot of skill. I didn't think anything was...
The business.
Yeah, you know, according to... The business is, you know,
having sex with a corpse didn't ruin.
Yeah,
business.
No, that didn't
think,
ruin
I don't
the
think
business.
I don't think this is going to ruin the business.
Yeah. Blowing up a limousine didn't ruin the
business.
Yeah. Chris Benoit didn't ruin the business. You know, there's a lot of things that could have ruined the business. You know, I didn't mind it. I liked it a lot. It was acrobatic. It was fun to watch, but it wasn't like I've seen matches. It's interesting you bring up the Young Bucks. The first time I saw them live at Ring of Honor years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. It was fun to watch, but the moves didn't make sense. Like, they didn't make sense in a wrestling match where I was just like, yeah, it doesn't, unless it looks like you guys are working together with, you know, your opponents to pull off these acrobatics. And then years later, like, you watch them and they figured it out, which is why they became so popular.
Right.
They figured out how to make them offensive moves that actually make sense. So, no, I liked it. I didn't watch the match we had with Vader subsequently after that. That's on,
terrible.
I mean, I would assume.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? It wasn't bad. Vader went over. Vader won.
He did go over?
Yeah.
Apparently, at last minute, he was like, I'm not putting you over. And then went out there to booze. He gets effing booed, dude. Like, in a small arena, like, this guy got, like, it's just the most audible booze.
How much they paid him to fly over to England? Because he didn't have any other UK bookings, right, that they...
$300.
By the way, the chat room died, guys. Sorry about that. We're trying to get it back up.
Hey, you know, speaking of dying, right? 2016 has been the year, like, the celebrity deaths.
I know.
But none in wrestling, really.
No,
right?
No. We had
Isn't that
was 2003. That was 2003.
Oh, my God.
That was the year we lost. It was like, we lost.
Mr. Perfect.
It was like
Big
everybody.
Boss Man.
Yeah.
What's his name? Crash Holly?
Everybody.
I want to say.
A couple years later.
We lost Fuji.
We did lose Fuji. But I mean, you know.
There's a few dudes.
Dusty.
Yeah, we did lose.
Roddy Piper.
Was Dusty this year or last year?
Dusty was last year.
I think Piper was last year too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even though, Piper, I guess, is a little young. She shouldn't have gone that early. But even like Fuji's not, you know, nobody's like he had so much more to do.
You know what I mean? You mean like a guy like that?
Yeah.
My God, I'm looking at the WWE list of matches. They did not get any 4.7 star matches this year.
What's the highest match?
4.5.
Well, you know, but on that Meltzer scale, that's like
4.5. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose. 4.5. Well, the Survivor Series match.
They got to do more shows in Japan. That's what I feel like they have to do.
4.5. The NXT Toronto, Ciampa and Gargano versus.
I mean, none of those
Dawson.
Tag matches. Those American Alpha versus.
4.5.
4.5. Yeah, but
TJ Perkins, Kota Ibushi, 4.5. A ton. AJ Styles, John Cena, 4.5. Another NXT takeover, 4.5. Battleground, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, 4.5. A ton of 4.5s.
What was your scale? The popcorn scale?
The popcorn scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is what?
I give it bags of popcorn. Sometimes some Skittles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Sure.
That sounds like a delicious scale. You actually have it. What do you?
My wife bought me.
Oh, yes.
This.
I saw this.
I'm now a belt guy.
It's beautiful.
That hold it upside down like
beautiful
over.
Beautiful belt.
So here it is.
That is gorgeous.
That is nice,
it is
too.
So heavy.
I do want to hold it.
So yeah. Here's the world title.
Pass it along. Please. And if we're showing Christmas-related things.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Let's see the belt, and then I'll show you my.
This is very heavy.
It's very, very heavy. It's not the replica
that's
from the
not
WWE.
The 10 pounds. The 10 pounds of gold is the original, not TNA, the original NWA belt, or is that referred to as the 10 pounds of gold?
No, the original one. This is 11 and a half pounds.
Oh, okay.
But I think they just kept referring to it as 10 pounds
as
of gold.
As the 10 pounds of gold?
Yeah. This is a
I only know of it from Ric Flair's intro.
Do you want to hold it?
Yeah, I do want to hold it. Like it's a newborn baby. Yeah. Can I hold it?
You want to hold the baby? Very nice. Just wash your hands before.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's heavy.
This is nice, too. Some good quality stuff. This is better than the one the Iron Sheik carries
yeah,
around.
It's way better than the Iron Sheik one.
That one that he carries around that's like,
I'm a belt
like a
guy
Halloween.
Now. I'm a belt guy. God.
Are you going to bring it to the next
I
Evolve show?
I will never bring it to anything. This just stays in the studio. It's a prop.
You know how you get a pass?
Yeah.
Because belt guys usually do the shoulder. If you do it full-blown suit jacket, the belt
the suit
underneath.
Jacket, yes. Like Conor McGregor.
Fit it on your waist.
Actually, I'm looking. I can't wait for the opportunity to do a full flare. What?
That fits you, right?
It's a little big.
Really?
Yeah, this is a little bit. I think they make it for like big dudes.
Have they finally started realizing who the target audience of people who buy
it? Yeah, that's what it is.
Why are we...
this belt is gigantic.
It's awesome.
Why are we stopping at 38 inches on these waists of these guys?
I feel like that belt could stop a bullet.
I probably can.
This is something Christmas related. I might as well pull out that I had as a Christmas decoration that I wanted to share with you guys. So I brought it with.
Yes.
And
we got to do the unveiling.
You got the white.
Hold here on. We go.
And I have it in my pillowcase like it's a snake. Hold on.
Oh shit.
This is a Daniel Bryan.
No way.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is the 30 full 31 inch.
Oh my god.
That I bought, you know, you get bored at a Kmart, right? Yeah. You go by the section, and then, you know, you buy this Daniel Bryan thing, and you go, well, what are we going to do with this? So you go and you buy an infant's Santa suit to fit it over, so it's now Santa Bryan.
That's the best.
So wait, it didn't come with the suit?
No, it didn't come with the suit. I had to go into the maternity section like a creep.
I'm shopping for a Daniel Bryan doll.
Yeah, no, it's just him in his trunks or whatever.
Oh my god!
And so me and my writing partner Stephanie Satilli, who also is my roommate, she's like, yeah, we got to get that thing. We you know, you go by the toy. Do you do that like in the department store? Even if you're not buying,
I always go by
the toy shop just to see the wrestling.
Yeah.
What they got? How much Sheamus stuff they got?
Yeah.
A lot of
How much Roman Reigns stuff they got? And then this thing is like. They only made four of these. One is Hogan, one is Cena, one is The Rock, and one is Daniel Bryan. Like, I don't know what the hell you do with it.
I want Santa Hogan. I would get Santa Hogan.
And so we bought, they're like, yeah, this would make a perfect elf. So then I went and bought...
The suit.
The suit. A baby's Santa suit.
You can put him right on the chair. He can hang out with us. That is actually so funny.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's perfect.
And I'm like, all right.
Way better than what I thought.
Dress it, I had to bring it. I'm like, what else do I have? I got to get my money's worth out of this action figure and Santa suit.
Bring it on the air. Bring it around with you.
Bring it to the bar after this.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, just let him hang out there. No, we're bringing our friend. If it's you a little
bring
man
your,
with a
if
beard.
If you bring your belt and wear your belt.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I'll what? Bring my belt. You bring that, and we'll be total fucking weirdos.
Oh, I got nothing to be weird in. I'll bring that belt.
Yeah.
I'll bring the tiny
the
belt.
Kid's
bring
belt. The kid's belt. Yeah. And by the way, this is great because just literally yesterday I was on Tinder or whatever, Bumble, one of the two. And I just wanted to meet up with this. You know, I was like, oh, I've got nothing to do in the city. I finished up early. And, yeah. And the girl didn't want to meet. She goes, we just started chatting, you know, and which I understand. She goes, and it's not your fault. She goes, it's just all the creeps I've dated with before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too early or whatever. And I was literally going back and forth trying to like jokingly go, so now I'm in a game show where I have to prove I'm not a creep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then and then today I bring this with me. Having had to purchase a baby Santa suit without having a baby. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I am a creep.
Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right
maybe
not to meet
she's right to not want to have a drink with me.
That's excellent.
Listen, you made the bit work, though.
That's a good
guess so.
My,
you guys appreciate it. I don't know that she'll appreciate it. That non-wrestling fans. Yeah.
My wife's mom texted her the other day saying, does Rich want one of these? And it was an 18-inch rock or an
18-inch?
Yeah, they're like packaged. It's like, well, I think.
Is it maybe the 30? This is 31 inches.
Yeah.
Which I know now because I had to buy a baby suit for it.
And it's like this big. And then it was The Rock, and then it was NWO Hogan. And I was like, you know, you should have picked the NWO Hogan.
Yeah, the NWO Hogan would be
great. Guys, so much more to talk about. Yeah. Obviously, Harry Tarjanian's here. Elf Daniel Bryan is here.
Santa Daniel Bryan. Santa suit.
Mm-hmm. But
there will be other
on.
Things now. We've realized we're going to get a baby New Year sash. I'm going to see if I can find an Uncle Sam suit for the 4th of July.
Oh, that's dude. Perfect. Just constantly dress him up.
Yeah. God, a little sailor suit, man.
Oh, my God.
A sailor suit for Fleet Week?
Yeah, for Fleet Week.
Stick him around with you.
You do realize, you say these ideas, I have to actually buy these baby clothes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whatever you do, don't go into like an Orthodox christening store because you can literally probably find
little christening outfit,
little suits for him,
little white suits
that are very expensive, and it might become a weird obsession.
Now the guy's dressing up this doll.
Doll every for every occasion.
Forever. It started as a gag.
And that's part of your life.
Yeah. I thought it was going to go away for Christmas. Now I have to find and, you know.
You need hobbies, man. It's cool.
It's a cool hobby. Guys, let's take a moment and talk about our other sponsor today, and that's Skillz, the worldwide leader in mobile esport. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to skillz.com/GFQ on your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z, and you can download your favorite free games. When you make a deposit, Skillz will double it. Double your deposit.
Oh, nice.
And when you use the promo code GFQ, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. Everybody could use that. Go to skillz.com/GFQ. Listen, I play games all the time on my phone. I'm sitting on the train. I've got to play something. I got to keep busy. I can't just stare at the wall. Can't stare at the guy's head in front of me. Why not make a couple bucks doing it? In fact, you can win up to $100 in a single tournament with entry fees as low as a penny. That's skillz.com/GFQ.
Yeah, that ain't no scratch-off ticket.
That ain't no scratch-off
more
ticket,
fun.
Boys. Esports for everybody. Nice. Let's talk about other promotions. The TNA debacle was a big story this year.
I think the big success is that they are, yet again, still in business.
Still in business.
They should refuse to die.
You know what's amazing? TNA came at the right time because if this was like ECW... think about this. WCW had to go out of business. But yet TNA, with 300,000 people per week, a company that hemorrhages money to the point that they cannot afford TV tapings and cannot afford to pay their wrestlers on time. The issues that WCW really did not have.
Right.
They did, however, towards the end, get forced to not pay their production. So they had to bring like Turner Sports production.
Huh.
Did you know that?
For WCW?
Yeah. So,
I didn't know
because
that.
They couldn't, because they were cutting money here and there, and there were like a couple pay-per-views, and they had Turner Sports like guys come and shoot, and they'd never shot wrestling before.
Right.
It was a total disaster.
Oh.
WCW went out of business. ECW went out of business. Both.
Somehow TNA. Here's what's fantastic is you got to give some credit to Dixie Carter in that she must do a hell of an introduction meeting where I don't know who at this point.
She's out, though. She's finished.
Is she done now?
Finally? She has less than 5% of the company. She is just shareholder.
But somehow, man, like, even one after another, everybody goes in there, and then everyone leaves and does a shoot interview saying how terrible this place is, and then every 6 months, she gets some celebrity or somebody.
You give her
gets
money.
Gets looped in there.
Yeah.
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah, I mean, but it's amazing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She worked Billy Corgan. Paul Heyman couldn't work Billy Corgan, okay? Paul Heyman. He went up to him and asked for $1 million. $1 million. Billy Corgan didn't invest in ECW. But Dixie Carter was able to pull money for tapings, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $500,000. I mean, he was owed almost, I think the total debt was $1.3 million that he was owed.
God damn.
And with the acquisition, he was entitled to like another $2 million. But she knowingly made him president of the company, knowing that in Tennessee, you can't transfer a title like that.
What?
Yeah, it has to be like approved by board members. You can't just be like, "Oh yeah, now you're the president." So he got bamboozled into thinking he owned the company.
So she played him like a mark, basically.
She played him like a mark. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Billy Corgan would have been great for the company.
Absolutely.
But they seem to be in decent hands now. The Fight Network has, you know, Aerolux. Not Aerolux. It's is it Aerolux? No, Aerolux is out, and it's the parent company at the Fight Network, which owns them.
Okay.
I forgot the guy. Somebody give me the name. I forgot what it was.
What was the name of that company?
Anthem Media. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Peter. So with Anthem now owning the company, there is hope for the company. But I don't know what they do beyond what they are right now. Like, there has to be a strategy.
I mean, there's something that, I mean, if you thought about it, if you brought up to somebody all the things, because I know guys who run independent promotions and how hard it is, like, you have all the difficult stuff is kind of figured out. You know what I mean? Like, we have TV. We have, you know, we have really talented wrestlers on the roster, because there are really talented wrestlers on that roster.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what is, but it's somehow it just doesn't work.
Distribution's there.
No, distribution is not there. That's the big problem. They lost the UK, which was a major, major source for income.
No, but I'm saying at one point,
Sony is going to drop them in India. Sony 6 or some, whatever it is.
Going to drop them from where?
India.
Oh, no.
When that goes away, that's their own. They don't make any money from TV in the U.S. There's no rights. I mean, very little. They're doing a rev split with Pop TV. It's not helping anybody that they're not making any money. So if you don't have house shows.
But did you hear the thing that I listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast every once in a while?
Yeah, he spins a lot of truth.
So do you tell me what you think of this, where the other guy who hosts it, Conrad Thompson or whatever.
Conrad is very good.
Yeah,
like
so this came from Conrad more than anything. It was just, they were trying to find out, like, okay, let's see how much it would cost to get a commercial for our podcast on that network, on TN, you know, on Impact on Thursday nights, on Pop. They call up TNA to ask, and then the response they got was, I wouldn't even know who to find that out from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But this is a company that's actively, like,
I know what the rate is. It's $300 for a spot.
That's really not that much.
No, not that much at all.
Right, listen.
Hey, wait a minute here, fellas.
I actually thought about it. I thought about it.
Yeah.
We got to contact Pop, because they sell the ads. Mm. That's nothing.
Can we also put an old school commercial out, like on Raw, like Jack Sabbath?
Like Jack Sabbath, we crush the competition.
Just put like a dude through a table. Enter Deacon.
Yeah. Well, you know, the WWE fee is also very low.
Yeah.
Not $300 low, but maybe a couple thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, a couple thousand. Yeah, but 300 is almost like, that's ridiculously low. Yeah. Yeah.
Very low. Very low. Because who's advertising with TN? Like, why would you? Why would you?
I don't know. Somebody's watching. I mean, a couple hundred thousand is still a couple hundred thousand people
watching.
A couple hundred thousand people, yeah.
I mean, for us, like, if we did a wrestling podcast, you know what?
We do a
podcast. We should crowdfund that. we should crowdfund our commercial during TNA.
Sure.
We should crowdfund its commercial. We'll film it, and we'll get the audience to pay for it, where we can put a commercial on TNA.
All right. Guys, this is a great idea.
If you could get, so what's the commercial idea? Maybe if you could
Rich
get...
smashes an apple with his bare hands.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's one idea.
That's a terrible commercial.
I like, if we could get a Superstars-like theme where with the saxophone, the old 80s music.
Yeah, we could do that.
Where saxophone was all the rage.
like Lost
royalty
Boys?
Royalty-free. I don't know. If you watch those intros, like a lot of like saxophone and then people dropping elbows.
We could do like an old school Hotline commercial.
Like a sex hotline commercial? Like,
ECW hotline commercial.
Oh, the ECW hotline? No, I want like a sex line, but it's us.
Well, how about this? How about you do a bunch of vignettes, and then at some point somebody goes, and of course, the night that Kimono Wanalea danced atop the ECW arena.
Just like one of those.
Just one
of those.
It's
Extreme Warfare Volume 1.
That same commercial that ran for years on ECW.
Same commercials.
Just the same one. Yeah. So
I love the Extreme Warfare Volume 1 and 2. And then the one that I bought, actually, I only bought one of them. And it was the Terry Funk Sabu match that some say is too extreme for ECW. Okay. That is the best one.
What about the Battle of the Bam Bams? Bam Bam Gordy versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
The Battle of the Bam Bams. I got to find that commercial now.
Battle of the Mat Men.
Is that Extreme Warfare Volume 1 or 2?
I don't remember what it is, but I just remember it's ingrained in my head. The night the Kimono Wanalea
danced on top of EC.
Like that, it's in my head. It's one of those like earworms that will never go away.
I'm going to find this commercial
now. If
you
can find that commercial. But yeah, you could advertise on it.
Which one was it? Do we remember? Was that Extreme Warfare Volume?
How many videos did they put out? I feel like they only put out two.
Oh, no, there were like thousands.
I only remember seeing commercials for two.
We need a fright wig for you and make you broken Matt Hardy.
You can make me broken Matt Hardy on the commercial. Yeah, we could do a lot of it. What did you think of... Oh, here we go.
It's the official videotape release of ECW's very first pay-per-view, Barely Legal, as the Eliminators regain the World Tag Team title. Rob Van Dam takes on Lance Storm.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Extreme Warfare.
Yeah, I don't think that was the one.
It's Extreme Warfare Volume 1. Relive the night Sabu suffered a broken neck.
So good!
See the franchise and Cactus Jack take on the Sandman and the legend Terry Funk.
So good.
Tampa, Florida explode as the gangsters collide with Public Enemy. State New York comes alive as the Steiner brothers make their
They're wrestling
ECW
outside, by
debut.
The way.
I don't even remember that happening.
The Sandman and Cactus Jack tear down Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And
it's not difficult to tear down Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah. Nah.
This is the one you're talking about.
ECW Home Video presents Extreme Warfare Volume 2.
This is it.
Prime Time Brian Lee. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
He was that. Over, and 911 was over.
Public Enemy versus the Gangsters, 911, and Phil Alfonso, the referee.
Yes.
Experience the one and only confrontation between Sabu and Lionheart Chris Jericho.
Excellent. Now, here it is.
Check out the historic Battle of the Bam Bam.
Yes.
And Bam Bam Bigelow takes on Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Uncensored,
never before seen. It's the night Kimono Wanalea and atop the ECW arena.
Must have seen that commercial
5,000 times.
I mean,
so good.
I always feel like with those promo spots, Paul Heyman was like, "All right, I'm gonna put this microphone in the middle of the room. Joey, I want you to stand 10 feet away from me and yell as loud and hard as you can." He sounds like he's across the room.
He sounds like he's in another room on a phone call.
Yeah.
Just yelling at some dude.
Like, even if you're recording it in your mother's basement, you should be able to get close enough to the mic.
So good. It was grimy and dirty and it looked like shit, but that's what made that brand.
That was fun.
I also feel like Joey Styles was like 22 when he was.
He was a kid, yeah. He had a bad. Talk about Joey Styles. He had a terrible year.
Terrible 2016. Although Trump won, so I guess he's all bad.
No, it's not all bad for him.
He got eaten up by Marx.
What was the deal with that shoot interview? Do you think he did it on purpose or what was the deal?
It was at Evolve.
No. Before that, though, the thing that got him fired from WWE. It seems like the whole time he was like, "This is gonna get me fired."
He knew he was. It was ending.
He knew he was on his way out, and he was just one fucking middle finger.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think it was. It was also when they took him off commentary and put him in the office. I think they put him in a like.
Well, he ran that website.
Yeah, he ran the website. But okay. I think until the point where like it got like he was obsolete in that role. And they were probably like, "We need fresh blood to come in here."
So he knew the writing was on the wall.
I think
the modern style of whatever it is, you know.
He'll be back there.
I hope so.
Yeah, they always end up back there.
Yeah, everyone kind of goes back, right?
It's like that's why nobody wants to shut that door completely.
Is Joey Styles going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
When does Paul Heyman go in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh. Does Paul Heyman get inducted by himself or with ECW?
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah?
Tommy Dreamer inducts him in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
No, but he's saying, do you induct the ECW?
No, you wouldn't. Well, okay, here's a good question. Who from ECW would you see in the Hall of Fame?
Rob Van Dam.
Tommy Dreamer. Sabu.
Dudley Boys get their own induction.
The Dudleys will get their own. Yeah,
because they had a big
WWE.
Because they had a big WWE run.
Mm.
Sandman?
You know what? How? How would you even do that?
I mean, Coco Beware is in there.
Coco Beware is in there, yeah.
I feel like you would do like five originals.
I think you might have to do... I thought there was going to be a lot more of those when they did that with the Horsemen. I thought we were going to see like a lot
all of them?
More.
All the Horsemen?
Not all the Horsemen. Well, not only. Mm. But
it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like they pick who's going to be.
Yeah, sure. Ringo got in this year or something on his own. But that was just to get Paul McCartney there, I think.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. But I thought that, and that was the whole reason that they brokered that deal with Ric Flair for him to do it.
Yeah.
They
traded Christian for Flair, I think, right? Wasn't that
for
a
one night appearance?
For a one night appearance,
which they, and again, they squandered that on
nothing.
So what? He was there.
Yeah.
And great.
Bizarre is that?
You have to listen to the if you listen to Bruce Pritchard's thing or no? Do you enjoy
it? I've heard a lot of the stuff. I like Conrad a lot.
Conrad's
I think
great.
Conrad is very good. If anybody listens to him, tell Conrad we really
like
him.
Oh, he's the best. And he's also the co-host of the Ric Flair show, which he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, very good.
He does.
Bruce is interesting.
Yeah.
I like his stories. I don't necessarily think a lot of them are true.
Okay.
The way he tells.
But even the best part is even Conrad sometimes doesn't. Conrad busts.
He says something about the Montreal Screwjob. Oh, he accused Dave Meltzer of being on the take with the WWE to write positive stories for them. He's like, oh no, Dave Meltzer's been writing fake stories for Russell for years, and we've been paying him. WWE was paying him, and that wasn't true at all. In I think the late 80s, Dave Meltzer was hired to tell them about Japanese talent because they didn't know about Japanese talent. So he was like their international
consultant.
He was like a consultant for them, but he was never paid to write. But he has like this weird hard on for Dave. He hates.
He
Dave.
Doesn't like anybody who writes for the dirt sheets or whatever. But
is
I
that
guess
what
Dave,
it is?
I think that's because he craps on anybody. Essentially,
listen, it's 2016. You know what I mean? Like he's doing a dirt sheet right now by doing a podcast and exposing.
In all fairness, I guess he would argue that that's all in the past. He's talking about stuff in the past that's not affecting the current product.
I think, I think it helps. I think some of these, you know, the dirt sheets, I think people like Dave Meltzer and other people, they have created this like inside culture within wrestling where it becomes like sycophants, you know, like they become very dedicated to knowing everything and they spread the gospel because they become very extremely into something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps.
Sure.
You know, if it wasn't for Dave Meltzer, I probably would not be doing this.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
I was a subscriber of The Observer when I was like 10.
Mm.
I begged my parents because I saw it in the back of a magazine.
That's some wrestling nerdom, man. That's extreme level.
So I got I was getting The Observer for years, and then I found their podcast, the Dave Meltzer Show, The Wrestling Observer, on IATA Radio. Remember IATA?
Oh, yeah.
It was an internet radio network, and that's how I found Brian and Dave. And Chauncey was on there, too. Chauncey was a morning guy for IATA. And then... You know,
but on his podcast or whatever, he talks about they did another episode on TNA. They tell some Hall of Fame stories about the fact that they might have gotten Kurt Angle a used Rolex or a secondhand
Rolex.
They did.
Rolex. That is true. They got him a secondhand Rolex.
And then the thing of Dixie Carter like trying to figure out how to charge the talent for their meal for the Hall of Fame dinner.
Oh, Jesus. Kurt Angle Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? He had a very short WWE career.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison, when you look at it, it was only, what, 99 to 2005, maybe?
Yeah.
That's weird, huh? In 4 years, he's wrestled longer for TNA than he has for the WWE. Jeez.
But I think he falls into that category of guys who were told, like, listen, get your shit together or you're gone. And he was like, never, dude.
But yeah, no, he had some issues.
And then
according to him, they wanted him. There's multiple stories that I've heard. One is that he asked to go to rehab, and they said no, because Vince said an Olympic gold medalist should never enter rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tarnish your reputation. Go clean up. And that's why he went to ECW to give him this lighter schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I've heard is that they asked him to go to rehab, and he said no.
Right.
So who knows? The guy's clean. He launched that app, the Angle Recovery app now.
Oh, I didn't hear about
it. It's to help people get through addiction and into recovery. I think that's great. You know, he's a guy that has had a troubled couple of years, but he seems to be doing good now. He's clean and sober, and I think if he does come back, it's going to be this year.
I believe he did have an interview not too long ago where he said that at the tail end of his thing, he did take up Vince on the rehab, and Vince said, "You're an Olympic gold medalist. You can do anything. So this is nothing for you." And then, like, that was like his first rehab.
Right.
You know? And then, like, now he's okay.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of like...
He tore his abdomen, right? Like,
He broke his neck, the abdomen, the knees, the shoulder. I mean, it's everything.
I remember that being, like, the last thing that he finally had to sit out for a bit before they released him.
I say Royal Rumble surprise entry.
Ah, that would be great.
Huh?
I say Royal Rumble surprise entry.
You know, that's the rumor. That's one of the rumors. I would fucking lose my mind.
How exciting is the Royal Rumble? Like, just
it is.
Last year was so great. Like
Every year. I don't care. You know what? Roman Reigns won that one year with Daniel Bryan got thrown out.
I was there for that.
That sucked. That was Philly.
God,
right?
I was there. Yeah.
And right after he gets thrown out is Goldust with Shattered Dreams. On the big screen as he's sitting on the floor like
this.
I don't even remember it. Shattered Dreams right behind him.
They did it early in the match, too. Like, they knew what they were doing. They did it early in the match. And from then on, it was them rooting for everybody. Rusev got a chant. Yeah. People wanted Rusev to win. That's how badly they didn't want Roman Reigns to win. And when he won it, it was the amount of anger and boos.
Did The Rock make it worse?
It was indifferent. People were just furiously booing in a way that I've never experienced before, how angry everybody in the arena was. When he actually went out, it was very, not even boos. When Daniel Bryan got eliminated, it was kind of quiet for half a second where people were in shock. But
dude, we had AJ Styles show up at the Rumble.
Yeah. That's how incredible.
We had AJ Styles. Who else did DDP show up this year, or that was the year before?
I think that was the year before, if I remember.
I think Diesel was also the year before.
That was great. That was my favorite.
How about my favorite spot of maybe any Royal Rumble in recent history was R-Truth running into the ring.
Oh, and he wasn't
pulling out a ladder and putting it in the middle of the ring to climb up and retrieve the money in the bank.
What a great
was not in that match.
The Boogeyman returned, right? No, that was the year before.
It's
that was
hard
2015.
They all kind of like smushed together a little bit.
Well, as you get older, like, also there's, you know, everybody I know can remember like every pay-per-view up until like high school or whatever.
That is interesting.
But that's because it was your whole life.
My favorite Royal Rumble moment. Yeah. My favorite one was Royal Rumble 2000 at the Garden when Road Dogg decided that he was not having it and he just hugged the corner of the ring.
Pillar.
He had his freak out.
He had like a freak out for 20 minutes. He just curled into it, and he says he has no recollection of the whole thing.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
That was a...
I don't think it was... you know what? If it was, it was a great way not to get eliminated.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he just grabbed it. Yeah.
Well, Joey Ryan did that thing in Lucha Underground where he handcuffed himself to the ring. So how do you throw him out?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground, I haven't caught up as much this year, but that's also great news is it that this is a great time for wrestling. Like, in all honesty, everybody complaining and bitching about how it's not good, like,
who are you, right?
Like, do you understand what it would have been like to have been a kid and have this?
Wrestling on TV. What do we have when we were kids, right? We had Superstars.
Challenge.
We had Challenge.
Then American Gladiators.
Then American Gladiators.
Hell yeah.
Right? That was our on Fox. And then we had Saturday nights for WCW.
WCW Saturday
605.
Night. They had Sunday night.
There was a Sunday night
605. Yeah. There was a little bit in the early 80s, there was the Power Hour. Friday nights and Saturday morning, same show. And then Primetime Wrestling or whatever.
And then we had Lucha Libre.
Oh, if you could get Channel 47 or 41.
On UHF, we had Lucha Libre. That was it.
That's it.
And generally, so you'd watch Saturday, Sunday, you watch WWF, and then you would maybe watch WCW if you remembered that it was on TBS or TNT. That was it. That's what we had.
And then Raw and Nitro.
Well, this is
Raw Nitro.
Yeah.
Except for one match.
Yep. Except for one match.
And it was like Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Tito Santana.
Versus Ric Flair.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give away the business.
No. You never saw Hogan wrestle, by the way. Unless it was pay-per-view or Saturday night's main event, which would happen. periodically. You never saw Hogan wrestle.
It was the recaps. Always the recaps.
It was always the recaps.
But you know what we did get here? Mm-hmm. We did get on MSG.
Oh, that's right.
Once
yeah,
a
locally.
Month. Remember, they were still running monthly at the Garden. Mm-hmm. Or like every couple months at the Garden.
Yeah.
And we would get those MSG shows from the Garden, and they were fucking great.
Well, yeah, because
But nobody knew it was on. Like, I had no idea. They didn't put it on TV that it was on. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah,
as
you
a
would
kid.
Just have to find it randomly.
Randomly. And I'm like, oh my God, there's wrestling on it. It's 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it yeah. would just randomly find it.
And it was like, and it was like main event matches.
No, it was a house show card.
House show card. All main events.
Everything else was squash matches. So it was. I remember them advertising one, and even as a kid, I was like, quadruple main event? Really? Tugboat is in one of your main events. Like, come on, man.
But now, if you're a kid and you really get into wrestling, you have on TV, Lucha mm-hmm. Underground, WWE, you have TNA.
Ring of Honor.
And then you got everything else on the internet.
And by the way, mm-hmm. just every YouTube clip.
Every goddamn YouTube clip ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
I mean, you know, it's just if you love wrestling... Mm-hmm. I don't know what more you want. It's so much of it. It's almost too much.
It is so much.
It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Well, you know, for me, it's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming for me. And I have a real hard time watching so much wrestling. And we cover it, you know?
Yeah.
But if we didn't cover it, there would be no way I could watch this much wrestling.
And it's almost annoying that SmackDown is good now.
SmackDown is, I know.
Because it used to be I would just watch Raw and whatever.
And
then like SmackDown, but.
No, SmackDown is phenomenal.
It's great. Yeah,
no pun intended.
For like, I think just WWE alone, Raw is 3 hours, SmackDown's two hours, it's 5 hours, NXT's an hour, it's 6 hours, 205 Live, 7 hours of, seven from one company, 7 hours of wrestling,
and they're still trying to figure out more.
Right, exactly, and they're just like, it's not a show from England, not enough. Well, did they cancel?
There's 24 hours in the day.
Did they cancel main event?
No, Superstars.
They canceled Superstars.
Okay. So main events,
main
events
still on, thank God, right?
8 hours?
SmackDown 2.6. They did a 2.637. They are up in ratings. They went up this week in ratings.
One event every 3 weeks? One pay-per-view every 3 weeks?
I think it's too much. I was happy. When they did the brand split, I was hoping. And what that was awesome this year, too, by the way, the brand split.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that it was going to do it the way they did it originally, which was a pay-per-view every 6 weeks for the one...
Right.
One show. This way you had time to build up and stuff like that.
So
but.
WWE is less than 200,000 viewers between Raw and SmackDown now.
Less than 200,000?
Yeah, they have less. It is less than a 200,000 person
the gap
spread.
Between
the gap.
The two.
Yeah, the gap.
Okay.
Less than 200,000 now. This, well, you know, SmackDown is going down and Raw's SmackDown's going up and Raw's going down. And SmackDown has no stars except for AJ. They have a very small group of people. Mm-hmm. Compared to the Raw roster, Raw has like five people in the middle.
It's just maybe Monday Night Football. I mean,
You got Monday Night Football, and it's such a long freaking show. Mm-hmm. It's such a long show that they have to constantly fill. I think that the answer will be for them: go to 2 hours, 9 to 11, or eight to ten. Do like a 20-minute overrun, right for the end, and then take everything else and put it on the network.
I agree with that. That's
that would
okay.
be nice.
Do all your
know.
Bonus shit on the network.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
I know it won't because this is USA and they're selling ads and they're making money.
Yeah,
they don't want to do it. But this is not going to end well for them. We saw what happened to WCW with the third hour. It plummeted their ratings.
Yeah, but in all fairness, WCW made that deal, Nitro itself wasn't very good. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't even have one show that was very good.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And then they added Thunder.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they added that when everything was. It always takes a couple, like a year before the ratings reach how bad the product is. Because I remember when I knew it was done when I saw Stevie Ray in the NWO. As a kid, I was like,
yeah,
oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
I was like, this ain't good.
You know what's amazing? They kind of got their act together that last 2 months.
The WCW?
WCW. They kind of did. They were having some pretty good matches that, you know, it wasn't as terrible as. 2000 was terrible. 2001 started off strong.
I'd have to watch it.
Because they had nobody left. They were highlighting all the little guys.
Right.
And they were having some really good matches.
But there
Scott
some,
Steiner
there
was...
were some good people that you forget about in there. AJ Styles was there for a minute. And
Air, what was that team? Air Styles?
Air Styles. It was him and Christopher Daniels, right? Or
No. I forgot who the guy was. I don't know if he's wrestling anymore.
By the way, you want to talk championship belts. The Cruiserweight Tag Team Championship belt
that
they
WCW.
Had.
Oh, WCW.
Yeah, it's an eagle. It spreads out to a... It's actually an amazing belt.
Yeah.
They had it for what, like 2 weeks?
I mean, whatever, until they went out of business. At that point, I was done with it, but...
That was such a bizarre time.
And there's a lot of guys making money who shouldn't have been on a main roster.
They just threw money at everybody. To answer your question before, yeah. I think... SmackDown is going to be doing better than Raw because I feel like the superstars on SmackDown are more relatable. And people want to watch it a little more, you know? Whereas, like, you name one person you relate to on the Raw roster.
On the Raw roster? Yeah, well, it ain't Cesaro or Sheamus. I mean, I like the New Day, but I don't know if I can, you know, relate, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of Kevin Owens, maybe.
Okay.
But, yeah, maybe Kevin Owens.
I relate to R-Truth.
R-Truth
on the Raw roster.
On the Raw roster.
That's who you feel like.
That's who I feel. That's my. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
That's who I connect with.
Fair enough. But they're both. I mean, both are really good right now. Actually. Yeah, yeah. Both are really good. So it's a good time for everything involved. I don't want to hear your bitching about how the product stinks. Because hey, I remember when the product really stunk. It was when John Cena was in his run, and there was zero storylines that didn't revolve around Cena. There was one pay per view. I forgot what it was, but. You know, like the go home to the whatever SummerSlam it was, they had three matches scheduled.
Yeah.
That you knew about.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, that's when it was really watching Dolph Ziggler wrestle Kofi Kingston again for the 100th time. Those, like, that's when it was bad. So I don't want to hear that it's bad.
We talk about that on the show a lot where it's people would, like, people will complain incessantly that there's no storylines. And now everything has. Everybody's got a story.
I'm happy with that.
And guess what? Everybody's complaining about.
Yeah, no, it's
people are complaining about the stories, and then people are complaining like,
why isn't it this way?
When they do the right thing now, people say it's predictable. When they don't do the right thing, they complain that it was stupid because it should have been the predictable way. Listen, bottom line is nobody's going to be happy.
Right.
At the end. And most people that complain are the minority people that's vocal. You know, they're the ones complaining. If you like something, you're not going to complain. Not the minority people. I'm not saying minorities.
I was
going to
say,
I'm sure there are. The Hispanics are complaining way too much.
More lucha. Por favor, we need more masks.
So what do you think? Let's wrap up 2017. where are we going? Let's do a couple of predictions.
International, apparently.
International.
Starting World War III. Let's bring back the three rings.
Let's bring back the eight rings. Yeah, I want rings everywhere. I just want an entire ring.
I want three six-sided rings.
Oh, my God. That's my nightmare.
And don't say that too loud because somebody over at TNA will go, well, damn, that sounds like
a great idea.
WWE hasn't done that for a reason, probably.
But three rings on top, like the Star Trek chest.
Let's see if we could get one of the Goo Goo Dolls to invest some money.
Yeah.
Who's a mark?
Yeah, one of the Goo Goo Dolls.
But apparently, I guess they're going international. Like that's what this whole England move is. Is that correct, Dan? I mean, you know better than I do, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
That's disappointing. Why do you have to destroy everything, Vince? Why?
Why?
Can't you let them have? You're not gonna. There's nothing to succeed there. They're on a 6-hour time difference or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't run live. That's it. It's just a global. You just can't run live. You can't run Raw live. You can't run SmackDown live. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Same thing with Japan. You just can't. It's halfway around the world. Why can't you just let it be?
Just leave it alone.
So who will be the champion at this time next year? WWE champion.
Roman Reigns.
WWE champion, not Universal.
Oh. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose is WWE champion. Yeah. Who is the Universal champion?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is the Universal champion. Who will return to the WWE? Who will we see?
Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle will return in 2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a definite. I don't know.
Is he the last one?
That hasn't returned?
CM Punk. CM Punk will be the last one.
But that'll be 2017. Yeah,
that'll be a couple of years. But is that the last, you know,
old school
guy to come back?
Shawn Michaels.
You think Michaels? Hogan.
Hogan's back. Yeah, Hogan's going to come back.
Come back, brother.
But, I mean, he's not going to be in the ring, so it's not the same. I think
Hogan returns.
Hogan will return. I think Angle's the last one who's going to be in the ring. I think
Angle will have one more match. Next WrestleMania, it's going to be Kurt Angle versus... You know what? We will see Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar.
You think that'll happen?
Yes. Yeah. I see that
there's
happening.
Some money in that.
Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, too. Mm. Or I like a WrestleMania.
Isn't it funny how these dream matches are all matches that we have seen?
That we've seen already.
Yeah, already.
And then Brock is going to try to do the flip, and he's just going to go out the building. He's just going to do that flip. He's just going to go straight up and fly back to his home planet. Of Nazis building bases on the moon.
Like,
Hitler would have loved Brock Lesnar.
Oh, he would have been perfect for
Hitler.
Him. He's everything he wanted.
Hitler's coming back.
Hitler's coming back.
Hitler's going to make a comeback. Although, I don't know if he'll pass the physical.
No.
I know he's got a mangled penis, apparently. Yeah. So.
Angle versus Cena. Angle versus Cena.
I want to see Angle versus AJ.
Angle versus AJ, which we have seen him, which is great.
Angle Cesaro.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
So, Kurt Angle, is there anybody else that we could see coming back?
That hasn't been back.
They have been teasing the Shawn Michaels stuff for the last few months.
Angle Michaels.
Listen, they already.
I think that's a waste of both. I've always said I truly think, and if you listen to Shawn's interviews, he always says, "Listen, never say never."
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying I'm not coming back. But if Vince needs me, I'll come back. That is everybody's answer.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now.
He's done, in my opinion.
He's done, but he did say, and this is the way he said, if it were to happen, because of whatever physical, he goes, you know, I'm not going to be able to wrestle the way I used to, but it would have to be a Texas death match or whatever. Yeah. This was the rumors with Brock Lesnar, meaning like he's not going to wrestle
a brawl.
Might wrestle.
He did
it
at Mania.
A street fight.
He did it at Mania. He came up and he beat up everybody.
Right.
You know,
so could he do a street fight? I don't know.
He's got a punch and kick. That's it.
I mean, I hope he doesn't. You know,
so here's my prediction: Daniel Bryan returns by the end of next year.
You think so?
I'm almost 100% that he will have another match.
I say 2018.
But a real match or like
Real match, like a real second run
with the Miz. I mean, that makes
you know what?
The most
that
sense.
Is that match. They're teasing it way too much for not to give it to you. And Vince is very much against that. He's very, very much against building an angle that leads to nothing. If He honestly, I don't think in his mind he's against Daniel Bryan returning. I think it's a liability thing and the concussion lawsuit was happening at the time.
Yeah.
I think once that settles and Daniel Bryan goes to a doctor and they say, oh, well, the spot is a lot smaller now in their head, I truly, truly think
that's
we will see him come back.
I really hope he doesn't.
Because listen, it's not like a broke... Edge had to retire because it was a danger. It was an actual physical problem.
Right.
You know, some of these guys have to retire due to, you know, neck injuries and, you know, things that they can't perform. Daniel Bryan, yes, he has all these conditions and he had the test and he had, you know, severe concussions. But a lot of times the brain heals with these things. So I was reading a lot about this. The brain actually does heal.
You actually did some research for a wrestling podcast?
I did. Isn't that crazy?
You're not just making this up on the fly?
I should make stuff up. But the spot that they said they saw gets smaller because the brain kind of
can heal itself.
Your body heals itself. So I think what's going to happen, he's going to go for another test and he's going to say, well, look how small it is. And he's going to feel good and he's not going to have any, you know, any kind
no
of
ring injuries.
And no ring. He's going to go in the ring. He's going to move well. And then they're going to have the Miz Daniel Bryan thing.
By the way, who would have thought Miz would make as big a comeback?
Huge year
for the Miz.
The Miz had a great year. And my female wrestler of the year, the most improved, is Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Alexa Bliss is my most improved. Nikki Bella, by the way, is a what an improvement with her.
She's
over
close
the
second.
Last couple of years. Last year I would have said Nikki Bella because she really improved. Nikki Bella's had a great, you know, improvement in wrestling. I don't think she's appreciated as much.
Favorite angle of 2016?
Favorite angle 2016. The Enzo and Lana angle. Just because it drives everybody fucking nuts.
The worst.
He's a misogynist. He's a misogynist.
Is that really a thing people are
complaining
about?
Oh, that's a huge thing. Yeah. Huge thing.
Go on.
That he's a misogynist just because of the Lana angle?
Yeah.
No, that he's a good guy being portrayed as a misogynist. And that shouldn't happen because he's a good guy. And people don't understand gray areas.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that wrestling's fiction.
Right. Yeah. They forget that it's not.
That it's a TV show.
That it's a TV show.
Yeah.
My favorite angle, I mean, and I forget what his name, Ellsworth.
Yeah. It's Ellsworth. That grew on me.
And I love how angry people are that Ellsworth is getting these title shots as if these are legitimate, As if you were going to get a regular, if somebody else was going to get that title shot, if it wasn't for those matches that Ellsworth.
I'll give it to someone else that deserves a spot.
Just relax. Yes. You know, just like, yeah. He shouldn't be a champ. He shouldn't be a number one contender. Like, no, that's the whole point. That's the whole idea.
Best angle. What else happened?
Jericho, Kevin Owens.
Jericho, Kevin Owens is great.
Yeah.
Probably that wins.
I'm trying to think other. I mean, obviously, the Matt Hardy thing to me might be the best angle.
The Matt Hardy thing was great.
I guess you consider that an angle, right? You know, I'm trying to think of the other companies. I liked. Here's a great angle that was kind of quiet. What's his name from Ring of Honor? The peacock, human peacock.
Dalton Castle.
Dalton Castle versus Silas Young.
Yes,
great
where
feud.
Silas Young. Had I guess in one of the matches he earned the right to own the boys.
And he made them the men.
He got the boys.
And then eventually he beat Dalton Castle, but the men turned on Silas.
Great.
So I love that angle.
Next week we might have to do something a little different.
Okay.
Because the Dome Show is the 4th, which is Wednesday.
Okay. Do they always do it on the 4th?
Yeah,
is that the deal?
It's always the 4th.
Why the 4th? Does that mean something significant in Japan?
I have no idea, but a couple years ago, 2 years ago, it was their catchphrase was, don't care, it's Monday. Every promo, every wrestler had to do pro rest ikose, don't care, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Come anyway. That was the catchphrase. Don't care, it's Monday. Come anyway.
Wow. That's always a great show. It's the I literally only watch 2 Japanese shows a year or whatever.
Oh, it's so good.
That and the G1 Climate.
So we'll probably, if we watch it in the morning, unless we do it live, like we watch it live.
I'm not going to do that, no.
3 a.m.
That's a 3 a.m.
It's not happening.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it and I'll tell you which one to watch in the morning.
Or I could just watch it in the morning.
Or you could watch it in the morning, yeah. So maybe we'll
hours,
do the show.
Though.
It's yeah. It's like a 5-hour show. It's crazy long. I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll cover
is
a little
great
bit.
Is Muda involved?
Muda is not involved. No. No.
Muda's got his own promotion.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Wrestle 1.
Which TNA has, like, again, that's one other thing where I feel like TNA screwed the pooch on. Is instead of teaming with NJPW a few years ago, they teamed with Wrestle 1, which was Muda's promotion.
No. They were forced to do that because NJPW pulled out and said, you're an idiot.
Isn't it because
they thought
Dixie Carter
was the tag
what's
title?
His name? Not that just the tag title. It wasn't
Okada.
Okada, right? Wasn't he technically, before he blew up in New Japan, they saw what they did with him in TNA?
Yeah.
That
It was that and what they did with the Dudley. They switched IWGP titles without telling them.
I don't understand how you do
or
that.
Or they dropped. I think the agreement was that they were defending the tag titles on, I think they were going to do TNA titles on, there was something like that. It was something with titles. They got
some
very upset.
Dumb screw up. Yeah. It reminds me of a story about WCW when, towards the end, where they were going out of business. They had some deal with Mexico to air Nitro in Mexico. And which was huge, like a big deal. And, you know, all they had to do was, hey, you got all these luchadors that are huge stars in Mexico, but they would just job them
to everybody
for no reason. So this, so La Parca, who's a big star in Mexico, is just losing to the Disco Inferno for no reason on Mexican TV. And it's like all you had to do was a very simple task, but whatever.
So this is what is situation back in 2010 when Team 3D were the IWGP Tag Champions. And then New Japan needed them for a tour, but TNA refused to send them as they needed the team for an angle for Impact with the Nasty Boys.
Oh,
this largely turned
boys?
New Japan against the idea of working further with TNA, along with promotion misuse of Okada. It was a play on Kato from the Green Hornet, the character they gave him.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They tried to make him like a Jimmy Wang Yang.
Jimmy, yeah, that is what they
did. Hey, by the way, I watched that Jimmy Wang Yang, Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
You know how they doing? That one made me sad.
Why? He has a taco truck, no?
No, it was the Redneck Party Bus.
The Redneck Party Bus,
Get it correct, Andrew. It's the Redneck Party Bus and a pink limousine. He has a fleet of, in Kentucky, the Kentucky, Ohio area.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it bummed me out, that...
But he's like a real redneck, though. He's like a Southern
guy. I guess.
Guy.
And he's happy. He seems happy. But it bummed me out for some reason. Maybe it was raining on the day he was bringing people over to
Raw. That's probably what it was.
They're doing the thing where he's hanging backstage with everybody and Cena's, like saying hello to him. And it's just kind of like... And then he's watching the show from the crowd. You're
oh, my God.
I don't know why, man. It bummed me out.
It was Cena what's up, Tajiri? And then walked away.
No, Cena, there was some weird thing where he thumb wrestled Cena or whatever, and he beat Cena in a thumb wrestling thing, and it's like
so sad.
I don't know why it bummed me out, but
that is very sad. I could, you know what? That's
some of those. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't see where they are now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because as a fan, you're just kind of like, yeah. And then when you, most of these guys own businesses, you know.
Yeah, he's actually doing. Here's the thing: in terms of the world of professional wrestling, he's actually doing quite well for himself.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot sadder wrestling stories, but I don't know why it bummed me out.
All right, time to wrap it up.
All right,
guys, go to our website gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast wherever our podcasts are available. Next week, we will cover, well, I will at least cover it, the greatest pay-per-view of all time, Wrestle Kingdom. Mm-hmm. New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom is next Wednesday on New Japan World. Go sign up and watch it. There's no commitment, actually. $9.99 to sign up. It's great.
And they'll have English commentary this year.
And we'll have English commentary. Kevin Kelly, and I don't know who the second dude is. Oh. I don't know who the second guy is, if you guys know. Kevin Kelly's doing it. I know.
Is it Stryker again?
I don't think so. I don't think they were very happy with
Corey Graves.
Corey Graves.
Is Yoshitatsu going to be involved? That's all I want to know.
Yoshitatsu was...
Yoshihashi.
Yoshihashi. No, Yoshi.
Now he's Yoshihashi.
Is he Yoshihashi? Yeah. No, Yoshihashi's someone else.
No. He was Yoshitatsu in WWE.
Let me see.
He was definitely Yoshitatsu in WWE, but...
No, Yoshihashi's somebody else.
Sure?
Yes.
Right. Well,
Yoshitatsu was on commentary, and he was... absolutely the worst.
He added nothing. I think
he added
nothing. I think they misunderstood just how much English Yoshi knew.
Yo, there's a whole video of him, Yoshitatsu, on commentary.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yoshihashi is the guy that wears the Aladdin pants.
Mm. What about Captain New Japan? Get him on the desk.
He's a bone soldier now. He's in the Bullet Club.
Oh, he is?
He's bone soldier. Yeah.
You know, you step away for a couple months from New Japan and the whole topsy-turvy world.
Harry Tarjanian, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, at Harry Tarjanian.
At Harry Tarjanian.
Yes, sir.
Check
out the Beige Phillip podcast,
yes.
Relationship, Sex Advice. And it's funny, too. And
it's actually
good.
Really funny.
It's really good.
BTC Rich on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian on Twitter. We'll see you all next year.
Later.
Happy New Year, everybody.